I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Sports Saturday.
It's complete and a touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Brought to you by Macy's, your local grocer. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon, Cougar Nation. Welcome into Cougar Sports Saturday and happy Memorial Day. However and wherever you're listening, we appreciate you spending some time with us on the... This is such a great holiday, Mitch, because it signals fun. It just feels like from here on out, we got summer, we got 4th of July, then before you know it, BYU's officially in the Big 12, then there's fall camp, training camp, football, the whole Thanksgiving. It's just, it all starts here. So happy Memorial Day, and we're gonna have a fun time today on the show.
We are. 14 weeks from today, it'll be BYU football kicking it off against Sam Houston. You can hear all the action, of course, here on KSL News Radio. Here's our lineup for today. We've got BYU signee Jackson Bowers. He could be a guy 14 weeks from today as a true freshman that could be playing. So Jackson Bowers, the four-star recruit who signed with the Cougars, he's going to be joining us. And then the voice of the Cougars getting ready for his 23rd season calling the action for BYU football. He will be joining the program. Talk some Cougar football, some Cougar hoops as well as BYU gets ready for the Big 12. But we got to start on the recruiting trail with a legacy prospect not picking the Cougars in the leadoff.
The leadoff. A look at the stories making headlines right now. It's time for the leadoff on Cougar Sports Saturday.
That's right. Isaac Wilson, younger brother to Zach Wilson. He announced his commitment earlier this week. And, well, Matt, it was not to BYU. In fact, it was to the rival. Isaac Wilson, quarterback from Corner Canyon, is committed to the University of Utah as part of the 2024 recruiting class. Your thoughts on BYU losing out on Isaac Wilson?
That was surely a loss. And any time that there's a four-star quarterback in the state of Utah who has family ties to BYU, he had multiple brothers play for the Cougars, it's certainly a loss. You'd like to bring him in. However, I do feel differently about quarterback recruiting and quarterbacks in today's college football than I did even 10 years ago. And I feel like I've always been honest about this, Mitch. I've never liked playing true freshmen. I just don't. I don't feel like... Are there examples of freshman quarterbacks that come in and kill it? Absolutely. But I feel like more times than not, there's hardships. And you think about Zach Wilson's start at BYU. It took him a couple years to get going. It was up and down in 2018 and 2019. I think in today's college football, BYU has a really unique opportunity to be a team. And let's see what happens with Keaton Slovis, Mitch. But I think there's a real opportunity here where BYU could be a place where you're constantly bringing in transfers and having success that way. I looked up the ESPN power rankings this morning for the upcoming 2023 season. 9 of the top 15 teams in that ranking, look, I know it's not the official poll, 9 of the 15 have a transfer quarterback as their projected starter. And that includes Alabama, that includes Texas, that includes Utah, right up the street. Cam Rising was a transfer. Let's not forget that. So the transfer quarterback is more popular than ever. That is a great way to keep success rolling rather than doing the, okay, let's bring in a freshman. Because you know with the portal today, man, you bring in a freshman that's a four-star, he's got to play. Otherwise, you risk losing him. So is it a loss? Absolutely. But I don't think it's the end of the world for BYU football.
It's definitely not the end of the world. And I would argue that, you know, the interest from BYU's end was cooling off in the recent months because, you know, I think not to say that had Isaac Wilson said earlier this week, I'm committed to BYU, absolutely BYU's taking that commitment. So, but I think that BYU has let it be known, not publicly, but through their how they've operated on the recruiting trail the past 2 months, they probably saw this outcome happening. They've offered quite a few quarterbacks in recent months, and some of those guys, I'm probably botching the name. This is one I need to get work on. Mia Luakai Smith, again, probably sitting botching that. San Mateo, California, he's someone that BYU's offered. They offered the Washington quarterback commit, E.J. Kamenong, and then also a kid from Granger High School, a name to keep an eye on. He came in from De La Salle. Carson Susesi, Lance Reynolds from Orem High, Enoch Watson, Demarcus Davis. So they've offered a lot of QBs because they know that the timeline for quarterbacks, too, in recruiting, they have to make sure to get a high school quarterback in this class. There's always a critical nature of at least getting one. And I think that, you know, I bring that up because this year it was so critical for BYU to get a transfer portal QB because they went back-to-back recruiting classes with no high school prospects in 2020 and 2021. There was no high school quarterbacks being added to the mix. So there is still an expectation to get at least one prep quarterback. But it's a bummer for BYU to lose out on the Wilsons because Zach meant a lot to BYU football. Think about where BYU was when Zach arrived in 2018 and to where it was when he left after the 2020 season, night and day difference to the point where BYU, you could argue, had that last impression to position themselves to go to the Big 12 Conference. That 2020 season,
no doubt,
I think, had a role. So Zach's impact on BYU football will be felt for decades to come, and I think you just naturally wanted to see that Wilson pipeline continue. But it kind of reminds me a little bit, too, of the Detmer family. Remember Ty, he was obviously, I mean, he's Ty Detmer. He won the Heisman. His brother, Coy, he thought he's going to come to BYU, and he ends up going to Colorado, and he became a, you know, NFL quarterback in his own right, not as good as Ty in his college career. But it's big shoes to live up to when you're in the shadow of a talented older brother who just was a absolute rock star at that place. Because had Isaac Wilson come to BYU, it would have been a case of, well, you better be just like Zach. And if you're anything less than that, well, you're a bust. And that's a high standard to expect. So maybe it works out for Isaac Wilson and BYU all around. But it is a little bit of a bummer to lose out on him.
The fit at Utah, I think, is interesting. You never wish ill on a kid making a decision. So we wish Isaac Wilson the best. His game is not what Utah's had in terms of successful quarterbacks in the past 10 years. That's just from a fit perspective. I did find that interesting because their best three, really. If you want to include Travis Wilson, he was up and down. But Tyler Huntley, who's in the league, he was good at Utah. And Cam Rising, who's still there, he's been good as well. There's no doubt about it. And if you include Travis Wilson in there, all three of them played a similar style of football. They all ran a lot. They were physical players. Not the best throwers of the football, good enough, but they didn't sling it around the yard like Isaac Wilson has done up at Corner Canyon. Like there was a game last year that threw seven touchdowns and 400-plus yards. He was just slinging it at Corner Canyon High School. That's not what Utah football has done. BYU, with Zach and Jaren, they've slung it around quite a bit, so they've looked a lot more like BYU football of old. So just from a fit perspective, it looked like BYU was going to be a better fit. So we'll have to see how that plays out. And then you also throw in, too, who's going to be his coach? Who's going to be his coordinator up at Utah? We'll see. Maybe it's Andy Ludwig and Kyle Whittingham. We'll have to see. But there's no doubt about it that that group, I think, is their time is running short. Kyle Whittingham's been a coach at Utah for a long time. Andy Ludwig interviewed and nearly took the Notre Dame offensive coordinator job when Tommy Reese left. So it'll be very interesting to see how this all plays out. But Isaac Wilson is off to Utah, and BYU is looking elsewhere.
BYU's football schedule in 2024, we don't know, obviously, the Big 12 slate. We'll find that out next January. But BYU does have Utah returning to the schedule in 2024, September 7th, up at Rice-Eccles Stadium. BYU hasn't won up there since 2006. That's just a frightening thought.
You think it'll be Isaac Wilson?
I was going to ask, do you think it's going to be a situation week two? Who's the quarterback for BYU in week two in 2024 if you had to make a prediction now, and who do you think could it be for
BYU?
BYU and Utah. Do you think Isaac Wilson is lining up as QB1 for Utah?
No, I think it's Brandon Rose, that guy that everyone seems to be high on. So I'll go Brandon Rose. Look,
and I know this is crazy because there'll be a portal cycle, but
it is as a freshman to play in this era of college football?
I don't think it's as hard as you think.
Oh, it's impossibly hard.
I think there's so much expectation for these heralded freshmen because they're getting elite training. I mean, the investment financially to get a four-star. I mean, Isaac Wilson got selected the Elite 11 this week. To be an Elite 11 quarterback, that takes a lot of time, a lot of training. Sometimes you could argue, are they peaking in high school? Because it was a case of, I think Isaac Wilson is farther ahead as a quarterback than Zach was through his junior year. But at the same time, I think Isaac's had a lot more training from a younger age, where Zach was kind of dabbling with multi-sports until his high school career. You wonder sometimes if these quarterbacks get worn down once they get to college football. But I think that there's so much training and coaching for these QBs that I feel like in the system and these offenses, I feel like they can step right in and be pretty productive.
I don't feel that way at all.
I thought Zach was pretty good his freshman year. I mean, that first year, I remember watching his spring, I thought Zach was head and shoulders the best quarterback at BYU. But I think sometimes coaches face the pressure of throwing in a freshman quarterback too soon, and then the fans go, "Oh, you got to like, he's playing terrible. Go to the backup quarterback," and then you ruin the confidence.
And that's what
of that
happens.
Freshman.
And that's what happens most of the time.
Well, like, you just got to ride.
What you're
with
seeing
the freshman
in Southern Cal—that's not what I want to do. I'd rather do
if
it
if you believe he's the future. Is what I'm saying. If you believe they're the best guy.
When it's someone like Caleb Williams, yeah, sure. Caleb Williams is once in a generation. Andrew Luck, Caleb Williams, those guys do not grow on trees, Mitch. They are not the norm. They are the exception for freshmen coming in and killing it. So I think it will not be Isaac Wilson. I think it'll be Brandon Rose. And for BYU, it's going to be a guy we don't know. I think they're going to go and dip into the portal again next year.
Not on the roster, then.
Not on the roster. I think it'll be, if I had to predict... Look, this is my way too early prediction.
Right.
Way too early. Slovis throws for 3,000 yards. He has a nice year. He is a late round pick in the NFL draft because he still has all that buzz and momentum from USC. It's still a thing. And that will be a third consecutive BYU starting quarterback drafted in the NFL. I'm going way into the future here. But I think they've built a nice pipeline to where they're going to garner interest, and they're going to bring in another Power 5 transfer, and he will start in 2024.
That's fair. I think it might be Retzlaff. I do.
I wouldn't hate that.
I think Jake Retzlaff, the JUCO transfer, I think he could be the guy.
Let's talk about Jake on the other side, because there's a very interesting thing to discuss with Jake Retzlaff and his possibilities of being the next BYU quarterback. We'll do that next year. Cougar Sports Saturday, talking football in the offseason. Back on the other side.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports here on this Memorial Day weekend. Talking BYU football quarterback pipeline. This on the heels of Isaac Wilson committing to Utah, and it's a nice little point to kind of look at what's in the mix for BYU in the future. We were talking about Jake Retzlaff. I feel, as of today, and again, it's a long way to go until 2024, if BYU... when they face Utah and potentially Isaac Wilson's on that opposite sideline, who could be BYU's quarterback? Jake Retzlaff is an interesting prospect. He's the number one JUCO quarterback. I thought he showed pretty well in spring. He's the number two guy heading into the fall, I would expect. Head and shoulders, probably above everyone else. You're not buying. Are you into Jake Retzlaff as QB1?
I am very into Jake Retzlaff. Okay. I love Jake Retzlaff. I just think if given the opportunity, if there's a Power 5 portal guy out there. Look, BYU was going after Power 5 portal guys even when Jaren Hall was still on the roster. So they contacted Emory Jones. I know that he's on his fifth team
Jackson Dart.
Like they've
Gary Bohannon.
They've made it clear that this is what they do, and I applaud them for doing it because, as I mentioned earlier, 9 of the top 15 teams in the ESPN Power Rankings will be led by a transfer quarterback.
And quarterbacks get hurt all the time, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it always happens. Last year, how nice would it have been had BYU had one of those transfer QBs to back up Jaren? There was no trust in Jacob Conover, so they trot out Jaren, who was clearly injured all of last October, and oddly enough, BYU then has a 4-game skid, and then you have a historically bad defense. Well, yeah, wheels kind of went off. So, yeah, you got to have that depth at quarterback, but I do like what Retzlaff's doing. I also like, too, Ryder Burton. I think Ryder Burton is someone that Cougar fans should be somewhat excited about the potential of. I think he's a long-term play. You hope that he stays in the program long-term and rides it out because he's got a huge rocket of an arm. We saw that towards the tail end of spring football. I thought in the last spring practice, we saw that big arm on display, but very developmental guy. He's already learned the playbook, according to Aaron Roderick, though, and he's been around the team facilities since basically last October. I mean, he's been around all the time. Making every inroads he can to be in a position where he could someday play. I mean, look, BYU last year got to what, their four-string quarterback? You never know. So he's preparing like he might have a chance at some point this year to maybe have a chance to play.
Here's the two things I love about Retzlaff, if he were to be the starter, which I'm totally for.
For 2024.
For 2024, yes.
It's Memorial Day weekend.
Look. 2023, we know what the roster mostly is. There's a few open scholarship spots. It's the off season. Let's really go down the road, down the future here. 2024. Two things I love about Retzlaff, Mitch. Number one, we saw this in spring. Dude is a gamer, man. How many times did a play break down in spring football during the media observation where he got out of the pocket and made something happen? I'll never forget. It might have been the last day of spring, where he threw a last-second, two-minute drive TD pass to Hobbs Nyberg, where he had broken out of the pocket and threw it across the field, which a little ill-advised, but made the play. Like, you could just totally tell this dude, he's going to elevate his game on game days. Like, this guy can make plays off-script, which is, it's a huge skill set. Keaton Slovis, by the way, is going to Southern California. He might even be there right now to work on this exact skill. When the play breaks down, off platform, off script, Retzlaff can do that. The second thing I love about him is he is a complete wild card. If there's no COVID-19 pandemic, where is he playing college football? We do not know because he grew up in California and he played high school football in California. And California, which I'm not breaking any news here, was very strict during the pandemic. And it was very difficult on the recruiting side of things,
yes.
Which, look, in the grand scheme of things, it means nothing. The pandemic was very hard for a lot of people, but for college kids who wanted to be recruited and could not play, your recruiting came to a stop. And I think that's what happened with Jake Retzlaff, where who knows where he could have ended up. He may have never went the JUCO route if there was no pandemic. He could be somewhere else. So Retzlaff is, in my estimation, from what I've seen, a guy who just slipped through the cracks because of circumstances, not because he doesn't have talent. And so I love that about him, where on the surface you see, oh, he's a JUCO quarterback, but we don't know what he's going to be. He could be a diamond in the rough. There have been quite a few quarterbacks in college football and even at BYU that have come from the JUCO ranks and had great careers. Steve Sarkisian is the one that comes to mind right at the top of the head, but it can be done. And so I would absolutely be comfortable with Retzlaff in 2024.
It will be interesting to see how Slovis performs this year. I talked with Slovis earlier this week. He was doing a service project, him and some BYU football and basketball players. And I got to say, man, that guy has just embraced everything about BYU. And you get this feeling like he's going to prove some people wrong this year. But still, I think what he did at Pitt and what he's done the last 2 years, honestly, in college football is concerning a little bit. I mean, I think that there's a big drop from Jaron to Keaton. But if Keaton recaptures his success from 2019 and early 2020, the COVID year at USC, BYU got a very solid Big 12 quarterback who could be, you know, I think one of the four best quarterbacks in the best case scenario for him in this league. I don't think the quarterback play in this conference this year is incredible.
You can poke holes in anyone.
I think Quinn Ewers is probably in the top three. I think Will Howard's the best one from Kansas State. Jalen Daniels at Kansas, and then I'm like, it could be anyone, and why not Keaton Slovis is the fourth best. So, but if he has success, I do think that becomes maybe the it spot for grad transfers to go, whoa, three straight NFL draft picks.
Seriously.
1 year. I know it's an honor code, this and that. They're a Mormon school, LDS, but you know what I mean? Like, I can overcome that for 1 year, for one semester or one calendar year to go get to the league, and it might be the hot spot for some high-profile grad transfers. So be very interesting to see what happens, and how Slovis performs could really, really tell the future of how BYU's quarterback play comes out.
Slovis had opportunities outside of BYU, too.
UCLA, Notre Dame, and Aaron Roderick said SEC programs that were national title contenders or national title winners in the last few years.
He wasn't just some bum that showed up at BYU. He had opportunities to go elsewhere. Got to take a break. News, traffic, and weather coming up on the other side. We'll hit the phone line and bring in maybe the next great BYU tight end, Jackson Bowers.
BYU. It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete. Another touchdown.
Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports. KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again.
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Cougar Sports Saturday. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte coming to you live from Broadcast House here in downtown Salt Lake City, Utah. 14 weeks from today, BYU football will be on the airwaves. BYU and Sam Houston. We'll find out a kickoff time this Wednesday. TV networks are going to release kick times coming up on May 31st. So we will know what time and where, what channel BYU football will kick off the season in 2023. But, of course, all the action can be heard here on KSL News Radio. And a guy that we could be hearing his name called in week one, potentially, is our next guest, true freshman, four-star signee, the highest-rated recruit in the 2023 recruiting class from Mesa, Arizona. Jackson Bowers joins us here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Jackson, happy Saturday to you.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Hey, happy to talk with you, man. What's that like? Explain to our listeners, what's that like to be a four-star recruit? Like, how overwhelming was it, the recruiting process, when that was taking place? The amount of letters, the recruiting edits, all the contact, and what's that like?
It was crazy. I mean, being bombarded with texts from coaches every day, and, you know, at the beginning of it was awesome, but after a while you kind of get tired of it and you just want to focus on one school. And so it was just so nice getting down to this one school.
How did you narrow in on BYU? Take us behind the scenes on your thought process and eventually landing on BYU.
Just Coach Clark and Coach Sataki, those main reasons right there. Those guys helped me make my final decision in it all. So,
talk with BYU signee Jackson Bowers here on KSL News Radio. And for our listeners out there, you had an offer sheet that we could probably spend this whole segment explaining. I mean, the who's who of college football, Alabama, Auburn, Washington. I mean, you're well aware, but like, it was the who's who. What was BYU always the place you wanted to be at, or was it hard to turn down programs like Bama and Auburn in this process?
Oh, yes, it was hard for sure. I mean, BYU, it was a dream coming up, but I mean, Alabama, I mean, those are the guys I watched on national television, just national championships. Those were my dream schools. And so it was definitely hard, but I know that I'm making the right decision choosing BYU.
coming out of Mountain View High School in Mesa, rich history of BYU pipeline there. Max Hall, John Beck. Was that something you were aware of the kind of the history at that school to BYU?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's rich history of BYU players here and trying to fill in that shoe.
What's your expectations for this year, your first year here at BYU?
Just get better and just help be a leader of this team and just try to be a role player and just do what I need to do to help make this team the best it can be.
Feels like there's a unique opportunity for you this fall. Isaac Rex is the household name, has been there for a while, but not a lot of proven depth behind him. What did Coach Clark and Coach Roderick and Coach Itake discuss with you during your recruitment about maybe being a day one contributor?
They told me there's opportunity there. I mean, they're not just going to give it to me. I mean, I have to work hard. So I'm given the opportunity these next 2 months to just work hard and earn a spot to be able to play for the Cougars. So,
when do you get to campus to start, you know, summer conditioning, or what's the timeline there?
Next Wednesday, I'll drive up to Provo and start working out. So,
any nervousness at all about starting college life, moving away from home?
Yes, sir, for sure. I mean, leaving my family, leaving everything I know, and going to a whole new spot. So, yeah, it's definitely crazy.
So you'll be here early June, and then the next calendar month, July, will roll over, and BYU will officially be in the Big 12. How much did that role play in your decision, knowing that you'd be playing Power 5 football?
Made it even better, and I'm just playing against like higher ranked teams, and that's all I want, just to get better each day, and just playing against better teams. That's what you want. That's what you should want, to be a better team. So,
Jackson, what are your strengths as a football player?
I mean, just being a football player, I'm able just to this. I think what separates me from others is just my knack, just be able to go get the ball, and just my aggression, I guess. I mean, like, tight ends, they like to catch and stuff. I mean, I like to block. I like to, like, kill people. Like, when I crush them into the ground, I pancake them. I like that feeling. So, I guess that's what separates me, and that's what defines me as a football.
Did you form strong relationships with other recruits that are in this signing class that are going to be joining this summer? If so, who?
I mean, Ryder Burton. I mean, me and him have gone very close. I mean, he's been helping me learn the playbook these past couple months, so. He's a guy that's got really close to.
Ryder was someone we were just talking about, his future. I mean, that guy's got a huge arm, and he seemed like someone that was kind of, you know, an influential person when it came to bringing together this 2023 recruiting class. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir, most definitely.
Well, Jackson, again, what's some of your hopes and maybe goals that you have for your first year, and maybe just your BYU career, what you want to accomplish?
Well, I mean, when I first get there, I want to get shredded. I want to see what that college weight room will do to me, and, you know, just enjoy my time at this school and just have the best year I can each year.
Well, Jackson, we wish you nothing but the best, man, and best of luck. We will not have the chance to talk to you in August at fall camp, because the freshmen, you're not allowed to talk to us in the media after that first fall camp, but I'm sure we'll be crossing paths eventually during your first season.
Yeah. One more thing before we let you go. It's such a historic schedule coming up. Are there any games on this schedule that you're especially excited for?
Texas. I mean, I've always wanted to play at Texas since I was little, so, I mean, just being able to go to UT, it's going to be awesome.
It is going to be a lot of fun. We will be following every step of the way, Jackson. Best of luck, man. Enjoy the drive up to college life, and we'll keep in touch down the road.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's BYU tight end signee Jackson Bowers getting ready for college life next week. Man, that's a lifetime ago for guys like us.
Blast from the past. I remember, this is a funny story, but I don't imagine you'll have the same experience as I did my first day in college. I graduated from Utah Valley University. I kayaked in a a little waterfall area in the middle of campus. I don't think he'll be doing anything like that on his first day.
Jackson Bowers could be a really good football player for BYU. I honestly think there's a great chance he could be the second tight end next to Isaac Rex.
You know what? This kind of reminds me of a little bit. It's not a fair comparison, but you remember in 2017? I think it was 2017. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I try to forget that season. I mean, it was a disaster of a year, man. It was 4-9, and BYU barely beat Portland State.
Anyways, the reason I bring up 2017 is there was a lot of opportunity for guys to come in because there was just such a wave of players who left at the end of 16, mm-hmm. right? Jamal, Taysom, like we go on and on and on. I was not anticipating that Matt Bushman would come in right away and just and be a player like that. I feel like there's a similar opportunity here. BYU has had dreams for years of having two tight ends who can play on the field at the same time. And that's just never really materialized. We would have seen it in 2020 with Bushman and Rex, but Bushman got hurt. And then last year, Holker left the program in the middle of the year. So we've never really had an opportunity to utilize two tight ends like that. And, gosh, I think it was music to the ears when you hear Jackson Bowers say that not only can he high point the football, but he loves to run block yeah. and pancake dudes. You can play those kind of guys because Rex can block too, but he can also run routes. So if he can step in right away, and it was also nice to hear that he's already jumped into the playbook, even though he's not here. Like if he can learn the playbook and be a guy that is not just situational, but can play in tandem with Rex, like that's pretty significant, Mitch.
There's a real opportunity for him to step in and be an instant contributor. It's becoming harder for freshmen to step in. I think a lot of that has been because so many of BYU's true freshmen in recent years have been coming off missions. So it's hard for an RM to step right in and be an instant contributor. But I think Bowers has the chance because you look at that tight end position group. Rex is going to be the leader. You've got Ethan Erickson who comes back. He had only one catch. When I was doing my breakdown of the person, I thought he only had one catch. And his one catch was a touchdown against Utah State, which was so weird to me. I thought there was a few other catches.
He should have had no catches if Holker doesn't leave.
Right. But then you also have Anthony Olson from Olympus. I really like him. Nason Coleman, he's a preferred walk-on from Arizona. Steve Clark's had some really good things to say about him, but more developmental. And we talked to Steve Clark in March, and I was like, is it unrealistic for Bowers to step in and contribute? He's like, no, there's a chance. Like, the talent is there for him to step in and be a contributor. Also, Mason Wake, too, more of that fullback, H-back, you know, wing tight end, whatever you want to call it. It'll be interesting to see how this all kind of comes together for BYU.
Can we also...
And Ray Polo, new JUCO transfer,
you're right,
too.
Which I'm sure we'll discuss a little bit more, because that's a really cool story. We'll get to that later in the show, but... Can we also just tip our cap to Steve Clark? Like we talk so often about Aaron Roderick and Fessy Satake, just this, you know, being phenomenal coaches and coordinators. Steve, like Jackson Bowers, doesn't come to BYU without Steve Clark. He just said as much.
Yep.
I think Steve Clark is an incredibly valuable asset to this BYU coaching staff, and sometimes I feel like he flies under the radar and maybe doesn't get those shout-outs and that credit that he deserves, but he's been on multiple staffs at BYU. He has coordinator experience. He is a valuable part to this offense, and it was really cool to hear Jackson Bowers mention him as a reason he came to BYU, because on the surface you'd say, Steve Clark, and he makes jokes about his height all the time. I'm small too, so I can't point any fingers, but coaching the tight ends, and he has that kind of impact and success that he's had, so... Just shout out to Coach Clark. He's a valuable asset for BYU.
One of two assistants from the original staff of Kalani's 2016. That's it. After that defensive overhaul, he's one of the
him
last.
Him and JG.
Yeah, him and Coach G, General Guilford. That's it. And Steve Clark has definitely done a nice job. Remember when he stepped into the role, how the tight ends were just a non-factor. They were not as impactful the last 2 years for BYU. Hopefully they get back to a more prominent role this year.
Oh, they will.
But Steve Clark does a nice job with the tight ends. To where it was the tight end position group, I remember when they had some walk-on transfer from Georgia Tech, and it was like, I'm buying into that. And then they had Remington Peck the end of Broncos time. Like, oh, the
he
tight
wasn't
ends are
bad,
back.
Actually,
he was pretty good. I mean, but still, it was like the tight end position. When you think BYU football, you think quarterbacks, you think offensive line, and you think tight end. Like, you go open a media guide, and there's a tight end section on BYU's rich and storied tight end tradition. tight ends are great here at BYU, and I think Jackson Bowers, 6'5", 225, has all the makings to be a real star and an all-Big 12-type player down the road.
You left out one of the most sad parts of this, the tight end saga. They were pulling in four-star guys on the reg at the beginning of the independent era, man. Austin Holt.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Wilson. Like, it felt like, hello, the tight end you. Let's go. We just go from Doug Jolly to Johnny Harleen. Dennis Pitt is in there. Let's keep it going. And then it just came to a screeching halt.
Go fast, go hard. And it was just a hard hit to the head.
Then you were seeing Brett Thompson, who I liked, playing at the tight end position.
That's a pull. Wasn't he like Austin Colley's like brother-in-law or something?
When you said go fast, go hard, I'm like, we're rolling out Brett Thompson against the Longhorns, baby. Let's go.
Our listeners right now are like, are these guys they're just chilling. They're just enjoying their holiday break. Anyway, we're giving you some deep cuts. Let's take a timeout. On the other side, we'll get to some of your texts, 57500. Your thoughts on the Isaac Wilson commitment to Utah. Also, we'll get some realignment talk around the corner, too. Is there more movement on the Big 12 poaching and raiding the Big 12, or is 12A non just creating all these lies? We'll talk about that next. Big thanks to Jackson Bowers, BYU signee, getting ready for life at BYU next week.
What number is he going to wear?
You know, he was in, I think it was like 85 at Mountain View High School. I'd have to look at what
I would
numbers
say
are available.
Single digits, but there's just not a lot of single digits to choose from.
I think he's an 80s guy.
He's an 80s
guy. He's a, you know, tied in with the 80s numbers. Yeah, it's old school tight end, got a good solid number in the 80s, I would bet, if I had to guess. I don't know. We'll see. Well, I always like when the new numbers come out for fall.
So
camp.
Here's what's available. I don't know why we're going down the weeds here with numbers. Sorry. 81.
That's not available. You're in Probert.
You're right.
He's retired. Yep.
So 82, 83, 84, 85, all taken. 80, all the 80s are taken, Mitch.
Oh.
Anthony Olsen, 85. Dom Henry, 86. Ethan Erickson, 87. Devin Downing, 88. Cade Bohr, 89.
Well, you have like three guys at each number. It almost feels like in a spring football roster you look at and go, oh, there's like four number sixes or fives.
This might be it. Austin Riggs is 84. That's got
to
go.
Yeah, get that long snapper. He can't be taking the precious 84. That number is coveted. 84. Anyway, you know what else is a new thing coming up this summer? So Bowers is going to be enrolling next week. A new thing in June is, well, camp season. It's a popular thing in college football. All these programs will be having camps. But BYU, getting on the cutting edge, they're going to have a transfer portal camp, Matt. This shows you the importance of the transfer portal. BYU is going to be hosting two different camps for post-high school grads. 2-year, which is JUCO, and 4-year transfers are eligible to attend June 5th through 7th and June 12th through the 14th. All these athletes have to do is pay $50, and they have a chance to go get hands-on coaching, and maybe BYU will find some transfer portal guys to round out their roster.
I think this is one of the dumbest things that's ever come around in college football. I hate every second of this.
You don't like this?
No, I absolutely hate transfer portal camps. It's not cool at all. The transfer portal,
I want to cover this event.
Okay, I never said I wouldn't like to cover it. I'm just saying the concept of it I hate. I don't like it at all. If you're not comfortable offering this dude based on his previous game film, he's not for you. Go find someone that you want.
If you're BYU, though, and say you get some dude, say, from Conference USA that wants to travel and is willing to pay this, I don't know what the logistics would be. It'd probably be a lot of maybe FCS guys, Southern Utah, maybe Weber State. But whoever, just to show up to BYU's camp and show up, and then they look pretty good. Like, I'd be willing to take a flyer on these guys, or preferred walk-on, set up some sort of NIL deal to cover their tuition. I think this is pretty smart. I think it's a good way to round out the roster.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous and absurd. And if we're going to keep doing this where you have to try out to get accepted as a portal addition to the roster. Let's just pay the players. Let's just stop this dog and pony show and go full-blown NFL. Wait. This is outrageous. A combine for the transfer portal to see if you can make the roster. You better clock in at 4-4. If it's 4-5, you're not getting that walk-on spot, buddy.
Well, some of these guys, I mean, you go into the portal. The NCAA put out stats. About 34% of portal entries did not land at new schools. So
don't go in the portal. Do hard things. Stay where you're at and fight for your job. That's my advice.
But what if they get told, hey, you're fourth string. You're not going to play. Like, nudge, nudge. See
that
you later.
Needs
get
to
out.
Be taken out of college football.
Coaches are forcing these guys out.
That's bull crap.
I mean, it's just kind of the reality.
Then let's stop. It's not college football anymore. Like, let's just stop it. Let's stop it.
Portal camp's pretty fun, though. I'm excited.
Anyway, I can't believe it.
Hour number two coming up next. We'll get the conference realignment. The Big 12 is on the pounce. They're ready to pounce. We'll talk about that next here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.